Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
How many of you know that, you know, when it's dry, fires are easily started? When I grew up in Idaho, we used to have forest fires every summer. And it was something that's very common. It's very typical. If you live in the Northwest, you'll see that man, when those mountains and all the forests start getting dry because there hasn't been rain for months, then one little spark, and I'm talking about one tiny little spark, can actually just cause a ton of damage. But I will say this in relation to that: one spark of the Holy Spirit will also cause a lot of damage to the kingdom and the principalities of darkness. Amen. Just one person that catches on fire for the Lord. One person that really sets their affection on God. DJ mentioned it earlier. He said, listen, I don't know where your heart's at, but hey, listen, put him back as the focus. Put him back on that altar of your heart. Put him back as the priority of your heart. Because when Jesus is really in our crosshairs, if I can use that, when he's our priority, when he is literally our focus, our everything, and you're entirely, completely aware of him, church, his power is present. His spirit is felt, amen? His spirit is there, it's present, it's real. And so I love it when we worship the Lord. I love it when we take time to read the word. I love it when we take time to focus on God. Because listen, the truth of the matter is this, is that he is 100% real. And he's 100% available for you right here, right now. Can somebody say amen? And so we had an awesome time this past weekend. How many of you were so blessed by this weekend? Amen. It was a blessing. Man, that was a week. Man, that was a week like I'm excited thing. How many of you were blessed by this weekend? Amen. Yay. How many of you are awake on Wednesday night? Yeah, let's thank God for that. But man, it was a blessing because we saw people come to Jesus. Let me tell you something real quick. The way that you celebrate when somebody comes to Christ says a lot about you. So I'm going to give you one more opportunity. We saw people come to Jesus. Amen. That's better than any touchdown that your team could score. That's better than any Olympic, USA representative, getting the gold medal, man. That's the best thing ever. When your heart sees somebody come to Jesus and you're not moved, I'm going to pray for your heart. Because I'm moved every time I see somebody give their heart to Jesus. I had the privilege of leading this young girl to Christ this past Thursday night. And man, when I prayed over her, I saw her change. I saw her life light up. I saw just her countenance, just become completely different. Because when Jesus gets a hold of somebody and he touches somebody and he begins to rest on somebody, they cannot be the same. They're completely changed. They're marked. How many of you remember when Peter denied Jesus those three times? The Bible says that Peter was, he went to one particular spot and people noticed him. He went and sat by a campfire amongst a group of people, and people looked at him. They said, hold on a second. I'm pretty sure you're that guy. And Peter's like, oh, it's not me. No, hold on. I think I've seen you with that Messiah. I think I've seen you with that miracle worker. I think I've seen you with Jesus. Listen, we need to be bold about our faith right here, right now, in this season that we're living in. It's okay to be out loud about our faith. It's okay, actually, that if you're not politically correct, that's a good thing too. Amen. It's okay to be a full representative of Jesus wherever you go. And so if the Spirit of God is resting on you right now, then that same Holy Spirit that is on your life, that you have submersed your life into, needs to be seen by the outside world. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit needs to be seen in your life and through your life and in everything that you do, because guess what? Somebody's waiting to meet this Jesus that you are carrying in your heart. The most beautiful thing about having a relationship with Jesus is that he goes with us wherever we go. Amen? He goes with you wherever you go. And he's available to everyone that you encounter. The Holy Spirit is unlimited in his power, church. The Holy Spirit is not boxed in by the four walls of this building. The Holy Spirit is available the moment that you open the word, the moment that you declare him as Lord, the moment that you call upon the Lord, he's present and he's real. So when I prayed for this young woman, when I asked her if she wanted to receive Jesus into her life, he was there. He was present. When I prayed for the woman that was next door that needed a miracle in her life, she was heavy laden, church, with an extremely incredible burden of her past. An amount of shame that I can't even ponder. An amount of probably feeling very, very impure before God. But the Holy Spirit touched her. And the Holy Spirit took that burden off of her. Her face changed, her countenance changed, everything about her changed in that instant. And it is for this reason Jesus himself said in the book of Matthew, he said, freely you have been given, freely you have received, you freely give. What we've received from the Lord is for us to freely give. Amen? It is for us to deposit back into the lives and in the souls of the people that we encounter every single day. If we've come to this house tonight and we found ourselves kind of bored, kind of, they're going to sing some songs again, kind of, you know, blah, blah, because you've been here on a Wednesday. You've heard me preach on a Wednesday, or you've listened to a message on a Wednesday, and you find it to be this routine kind of boring thing. You know, they didn't get a guest speaker tonight. They don't have pyrotechnics going off. You know, they don't have something to engage me. If you find yourself in that state, you find yourself a little bit worried or burdened, or again, even bored, I'm here to tell you that you're probably living this thing out the wrong way. There is nothing boring about listening to the heart of God. There is nothing boring about getting to know the Lord of this world, the creator of your being. There is nothing boring. There is nothing that is dull about that whatsoever. How many of you have ever heard the voice of God? The Lord has spoken to your life. Raise your hand if the Lord has ever spoken to you. That is an unexplainable divine gift from heaven, church. That when the Lord has spoken something into your life, when God has given you something that you heard from him and you knew that nobody else could know what you needed to hear in that moment, it is so powerful. It is so moving. Because it's like, man, how is it that he knew? He's God. I'm in awe of that every time God speaks to me. In fact, I'm in awe of that every time the Lord uses somebody to speak into my heart. I go, man, you knew exactly what I needed and when I needed to hear it. You knew exactly the right time to give me that drink of water that I was longing for. You knew exactly the right time, God, to provide that thing in my life. If you've ever gone through financial struggles in life, it can be a stressful time, amen? How many of you have ever had a tough time paying a bill? Man, it can be a tough time to have faith. Because you know that bill's due, you know that they're going to call you, you know that the collection needs to be made, and you don't know where it's going to come from. I remember when I first gave my heart to Jesus, and I was a young man, I was probably still in my teens, maybe 18, 19 years old. I had already begun to live on my own at that time. I remember so many times, church, where I didn't have like enough to like get by. You know, how many of you have ever ran out of money like 10 days before your paycheck's supposed to come? Am I the only one? Okay, all right, cool. We can all relate. And I've been there. And I remember so many times where I didn't have money after church. You know, everybody was going to go out to eat with their friends and family, and I didn't have anything. And somebody would just walk up to me and say, "Hey, Brother Duke." They'd stick something in my hand. And I didn't ask anybody. I didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew. And I said, "Man." And I remember in the beginning, I had a hard time ever receiving from people like that. I had a hard time receiving because I didn't know, church, how this God that loves me so much, why he would even do this. He knew how many things I had done wrong that week. He knew how many curse words I said on the tennis court. He knew everything that I had done, and yet somehow in his mercy, he still said, "But I see this need that you have, son. I'm going to take care of you." I know him that way, church. You know him that way. And it's so moving to me when I think of those seasons in life where the Lord just miraculously provided. It was like that widowed woman that the Lord sent, you know, a raven to her. I mean, if God can send a raven to somebody, if God can send a prophet to somebody that they've never met, if God can make a donkey talk, if the Lord can do those things, we must trust him, church, in this season right here, right now. Say, "But Pastor Duke, things look nutty out there. Things look a little bit crazy. Things are just, you know, going every which direction. Trust the Lord." You know, the first scripture I think I ever memorized was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. How many of you know those verses? Trust in the Lord. Everybody say it with me. With all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. You have the privilege to trust in an unseen God. I believe that the Lord will count us more blessed because he said it in his word. He said, "Greater are those who have not seen and yet still believe." Amen. You have the greatest opportunity right now to display your faith. To still believe when no one else wants to, when it's not cool to serve God, when in fact we are being looked at by the world as anti-everything of the world, and that's a good thing. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're not supposed to necessarily get along with all the things that the world wants us to do. That's okay. We don't operate by the standards of this world. We are a Romans 12:2 people. The Bible says, "Therefore be renewed in your minds," right? It says, "Don't follow the patterns or the trends of this world, but be renewed in your mind." We are that kind of people. So we don't operate on the standards of this world, but we operate or looked at a certain way by the people of this world. Just know that God is counting your faith. God is holding that thing, and God is taking account of every single act you've done in faith in this world. And that is the only thing, church, that will please him. You attending church probably isn't on his list of things that he's pleased by. It doesn't say it in the word, but guess what? We're grateful. But the Bible says that faith pleases him. Faith is an action. Faith is not just something that you close your eyes, you hope for the best, and you hope that, you know, everything turns out right. But no, faith is an actual action. It is when you are sturdy enough in your life to move about and follow the word of God and actually act upon it. That if God told you to pray for somebody, you actually stop what you're doing, and you begin to what? You begin to pray. You begin to act on that which you've received. You begin to act on that which you've learned. And you begin to move in that. Amen? And so last week, we started this message, and I need to get back into it because I'm just going where the Lord wants me to go here. But I want us to understand this. I gave the very first point last week, and that was this, is that the Lord has given us, church, a standard to operate by. How many of you know that the standard that we must operate by is right here? It's called the Word of God. If you have your Bible, I want you to hold it up tonight. If you got it in your phone, I'll let you hold up your phone. That's acceptable as well. That's okay. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, that's a blessing. Hold it up just for a second. Don't be ashamed. This is your standard. Everyone say, this is my standard. This is it. But the beautiful thing about this, church, is that it's not a book of law. It's not a book of religion. It's not a book of requirements. It's a book that tells us about the very author that wrote it. It's a book that tells us about the very one who set your life into motion, who breathed into your lungs, the one that created you, the one that formed you. This book tells and speaks about the one true God, which is Jehovah. And because this book speaks this way, it also tells us, church, that we will not get to heaven by the works that we've done, but we will get to heaven by believing in the works that Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen? It is by us believing in what he has done, but we must act on what we believe. And so we learned last week that the Word of God is the standard. The Word of God is the standard that has been set for you and I to live out in this earth. There's a saying that says this, that your life is probably the only Bible that somebody's ever going to read. Did you know that? Your life, your actions, your speech, the way that you move about in this world is the only Bible that someone will read. I meet people all the time and they tell me all the time that they went to a church, they started going to church, but yeah, you know, that people did this to them or they said that or they were rude or they were unkind or whatever. And guess what? They don't want to go to church anymore. They don't want to serve God anymore. They don't want to have a relationship with God because they've judged God based on the people that they met. Based on the people that said that they were his. And so if I can give you this responsibility tonight, church, to hold fast to the Word of God. In the book of Psalm 119, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Finish it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By what? By living according to the Word. How can a believer keep their way pure? By living according to the standards of this Word. The Word, church, is the most powerful thing that you and I have been given. But this book, church, was not necessarily meant for you and I to debate over. This Word wasn't not necessarily for you and I to get into conflicts with. It cannot be destroyed. That's the most beautiful thing about this Word. It's already endured the amounts of times that people have tried to destroy it and have tried to expel it from our societies and from our regions and all of these things. It's already endured all of those things. In fact, God does not need us necessarily to be his defender. The Word defends itself. The Word of God is that powerful. But the Word has been given to us so you and I can declare who he is back to the world. So that you and I can show and reflect the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God back to those that we live with in this world. And so the Word must become the standard in which we choose to live by. I mentioned this last week, not our own personal banners. It's okay that sometimes we all have things that we love, things that we appreciate, things that we're about. That's all fine and dandy. But the moment that that one thing in your life, that banner that you hold on to, it could be making money, that it could be a title or position that you hold in this world. It could be a sports team. It could be anything. It could be somebody that you idolize in this world. The moment that that banner gets bigger and more seen by the world in your life than Jesus, then the Word is not your standard. for the people in the book of Numbers, for the people that God had set that standard for, their life was to be about God. Their life was to be centered around everything that God did. And for you and I as believers, our life should be centered around God. I was speaking with Brother Ike the other day, and he mentioned to us something so awesome. Him and his family are just, you know, new members to our church within the last few months. And he told me something. He said, you know, the old church that we were going to, you know, it had only, you know, like one service a week. He goes, but your church, he goes, we got prayer on Tuesdays. He goes, we got worship on Wednesdays. We got, you know, Wednesday night. He goes, man, we got Sunday school. We got Sunday, you know, morning church. Like for him, coming from a one service a week church to having four services a week was glorious. You should think the same. Amen? I said, you should think the same. You should be like, dude, that's awesome. In fact, we should open the church every single day of the week. And we should have people coming into the church every single day of the week because it's a privilege to be here. Amen? I said, it's a privilege to be here. This does not happen everywhere. I could let Pastor Thomas speak and testify of how in Saudi Arabia, where he was living before he moved to the United States, he's told me testimonies about how they used to take mattresses and they used to take sheets and pillows and they would have to put them all up against the walls because people would go into a room just to pray, church. You see, it wasn't something that was even allowed to do in their country. It wasn't something that was even a privilege to do in their country. In fact, if they caught them doing it, they would be persecuted. They could be thrown into jail. They could even be killed. You want to talk about hunger for Jesus? You want to talk about having that word as your standard? You want to talk about itching for the pages just to read it, just to take a drink of the word of God? That's hunger. I want this church to be so hungry for Jesus. I want this church to be so on fire for Jesus that it doesn't matter how long the message is. It doesn't matter how long the prayer service is. It doesn't matter how long worship is. Because this time that we have right now, church, is preparation for eternity. This that you're living out today is preparation for the rest of your life. I spoke to a gentleman about eternity the other day, and I basically broke it down to him like this. I said, listen, eternity is a long time. You know that? He's like, yeah, I know. And I said, let me put it in the simplest of terms for you. There's heaven and there's hell, and you will be in one of two places forever, for eternity. I said, you'll either be in the smoking section or the non-smoking section. But you're going to be in one of two places forever. If we don't get this thing right now, we're not going to have it right then. If we don't get it right now, church, we're never going to have it right then. I love that people have passion in life. I love that people have a drive for life. I love that people are you know, excited and creative and they use their gifts and talents here in this world. That's perfect. That's awesome. But listen, Jesus still has to be number one. Jesus still has to be number one. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, he says, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. This is Paul speaking. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. It's a godly work, church, that's happening inside of all of us. Amen? It's a godly work when the Lord is working on your life. And here Paul's emphasis is saying, hey, listen, this salvation thing that you and I are all working out, it's something that you need to prioritize. It's something that you need to pay attention to. He goes on to say, he says, so that you could shine like stars in this crooked and depraved generation. He goes on to say at the end, he says, as you hold out to this word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. You know, for a pastor, for a minister, the greatest joy that we would ever have is to see the church live out the word of God. It's to see you living that thing out. So that it's no longer it's a maturing process. I love to see people mature in the Lord. In fact, I love to see people empowered in the Lord. It's an awesome thing to witness when somebody has grown in the Lord. And they've come to you, you know, before with, you know, maybe immature things that they were dealing with or things in their life. And all of a sudden you see them get victory over that thing that they were living through or that thing that was challenging their life. And so it's a beautiful thing that all of a sudden when we begin to see the body of Christ all starting to move in the same direction, when everyone starts to have the same hunger, the same frame of mind, the same goal and purpose to glorify Jesus, to make him known in the world, to make him known in our community, that's a powerful thing. But the opposite of that is an incredibly discouraging thing when it seems as if it's only one person that's doing the labor, when it's only one person that's running the race. Paul was like, please, please hold fast to this word so that I may boast on the day of Jesus. That is when the Lord returns, that I didn't run or I didn't labor in vain for nothing. Paul poured his life into these people and Paul was saying, hey, listen, I hope you guys get this thing right. I hope you live it out the right way. So that it was worth something. So that it was worth something in God. I believe it's so powerful, church, and it blesses again the ministers that have the honor of ministering the word. It blesses them when they see people begin to live that out. Amen? When you and I live this thing out and when we hold fast to this standard, church, it reminds us that this is in fact true. That this is in fact the right way to live. The world is fighting us in arm wrestling in every level of government and society and schools. The world is arm wrestling because guess what? They do not want this as their standard. They want to believe what they want to believe. They say, no, it's okay that I can have this sexual orientation. Oh, it's okay that I can live this way. It's okay that I can speak this way. It's okay that I can do all of these things. They say, I don't want your standard. But they will have to hold account to God one day, my friends. And every single person is going to have to stand before the Lord. Every single one of us. And he's going to say, hey, listen, somebody told you about this. Somebody told you about this standard of life that I have given for you. The beautiful thing about when we hold fast to the word of God is this, is that Jesus said this. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's really not that hard. You know what becomes hard? When you're not surrendered. Because you've kept one foot in the world. You've kept one foot in the life that you want to live. And you're unwilling to let go of certain things that will completely free you into freedom in Christ. But once you're free, it's not that hard. It's really not that hard, church. It's so doable. His word hasn't changed, and regardless of the culture in our life, our trends, the patterns and traditions of this world, we must still function with the authority and the standard and the word that God has given us. Amen. But the word is never accomplished, church, without power. The word is never accomplished without a persevering. And so a power never produces without a perseverance. And so the Lord is wanting you and I to live in this world with that perseverance that he alone can give us. The Bible says that when we are weak, we're actually made strong. The Bible says that when we're weak, we are weak so that his power may rest on us. So weakness in the flesh is actually a good thing in the spirit, because that means that the Lord can work in your life that much more. That the Lord can actually move through your life that much greater. Amen? And so when you receive the word of God, when you receive it into your life humbly and you walk in the word gracefully, guess what? You're going to be just fine. But without living out the word, we cannot even call ourselves a church. Without living out the word of God, you have almost disqualified yourself to be a member of the body of Christ. Because how can we call ourselves a church? How can we call ourselves part of the body of Christ when we look nothing like Jesus? Not talking about physically. I'm talking about the way we forgive others that have wronged us. I'm talking about the grace that we bestow upon a person's life that has come against us. I'm talking about the love that we pour into somebody's life that is very unlovable. I'm talking about going the extra mile to reach the one that is far from God. Going the extra mile to reach to the outcast. I'm talking about living it out, church. Jesus went the extra mile for you. Jesus went even further than the world thought he would go. He died for the sins of the world. The Bible tells us, church, to what? To die to ourselves. To take up our cross and to follow him. Say, it's not about what I want anymore. It's not about what I think anymore. But Lord, it's about following your voice. I believe that there should be a healthy frustration when it comes to walking out the word. Do you understand that terminology? In other words, that you keep coming back to the drawing board. Even if you've messed up before the Lord, you get back up and you come back. No day will be perfect. No moment will be perfect. You're not made perfect by what you've done. You're made perfect by receiving the blood of Jesus over your life to cover your sins. Amen? But there should be that healthy frustration where you say, Lord, I just want to be more like you. I heard this man one time and he was speaking. He's a minister, I believe, in China. And he was speaking and he said this. He goes, you know, a lot of people say the Holy Spirit. They're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? And they say the Holy Spirit as if you know, it would be like me saying the brother Rene Limas, the brother DJ. But I don't have to say the brother DJ. I can just say DJ because he's my friend. Because I have a relationship with him. And he said, I want to know the Holy Spirit so much that he's just Holy Spirit. That the closeness that he has with God is just, it's that close. He wants to know the Lord on a first name basis. Sometimes we talk about God as this secondary thing, and he said, I want to know the Lord on a first name basis. We must work out this salvation, church, with fear and trembling, but there's always going to be an opposition before there's obedience. The enemy is always going to try to stop you from obeying the last word that God told you. You could come to church and the Lord told you, hey, listen, I need to forgive somebody. And listen, what's the first thing that the enemy is going to try to do in your life? He's going to try to put somebody in your life that offends you. Somebody say amen tonight. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You wake up one morning, you say, man, I'm never going to miss a day at church. I'm so fired up for Jesus. And the first thing that you do is you get a flat tire when you go outside to come to church. And the devil's just like, ha ha. Oh man, I'm going to commit to you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you because, Lord, today is the day that I'm just going to follow you and everything's going to fall in line. And the enemy just throws something in your way. Listen, you have to mature and grow up over those things to say, hold on a second. I know what the enemy did, but I'm still going to obey his word. We're too quick sometimes, church, to allow those little things to trip us up and all of a sudden we can't do nothing for the Lord. We can't serve God. We can't follow his word. We can't do anything because that one tiny little thing just, oh man, the devil just got me with that thing. I know people that habitually, week after week, there's an excuse. Y'all know what I'm about to say next. Excuses are like armpits. Everyone has them, and they all stink. But I believe the Lord, church, has given us the power. He's given us the authority. He's given us the word of God. He's given us the mind of Christ to look at the devil and say, ha ha, I saw what you tried to do there. I saw how you tried to mess me up. I saw how you were trying to trip me, but I'm still going to obey my Father's voice. I'm still going to listen to what it is that he wants me to do. If the devil doesn't want you to do it, church, always know it only means that God approves of it. If the devil didn't want you to wake up today and come to church tonight and praise God and worship him, it's because guess what? God wants you to do that. So we have to actually get a little bit stronger in this thing right here and say, listen, I'm not going to allow the enemy to continue to play these games with my life, play these games with my mind, allow me to fall by the wayside at any little thing that comes against me, because listen, I have the living truth of the word of God. And this word is like a sword. I can chop down anything that the enemy comes to bring against me with this thing. When he brings something against you, church, it's so easy. All you got to do is speak the word. Say, hold on a second, Satan. When Jesus was tempted in the desert for those 40 days and he was fasting, what is the first thing that he responded to the enemy? It is written. It is written right there, man. But our ignorance and our fallibility to listen to this thing, our laxness to not open it, our laziness to not read it, to not know who this God says we are, to not know who this God wants us to become, our laziness, church, to not even see it. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the sluggard doesn't even lift a spoon to his own mouth. That the lazy don't even lift the spoon to their own mouth. How could we even think that we could serve a living God if we're not willing to open the pages of his word? We've got to open this thing, church. I love this verse. Let me find it for you. Y'all bored tonight? I hope you're not. How many of you know the book of Matthew? Anybody ever read the book of Matthew? Yeah, raise your hand. All right. I'm going to get there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I'll say it one more time. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When you have a hunger for the things of God, when you have a hunger for the righteousness of God, when that becomes your appetite, John chapter 6, let's go there for a second. I want you to hear this verse. John 6 and 54, I'm sorry, 6 and 53, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink, and whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. You see, sometimes we think, church, that the appetite that we're supposed to have is just for a religious experience. That the appetite that we're supposed to have is just because pastor wants us to attend church every time that the church is open, and that's not it. The appetite for the word of God that you are supposed to have is an appetite for Jesus. It is an appetite for the one who created your life. When you behold Jesus in your heart, church, when you behold the goodness of God in your life, it is the most powerful thing ever. I remember the first time that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was like 19 years old, 18 years old, I believe at the time, 18. I wasn't 19 or 18, I was 18. And I'll never forget the moment that the Holy Spirit's power fell on my life in a completely new way. When I got saved, I felt the Lord just lift a weight off my shoulders. I felt his love pour into my heart. But it was a completely, completely different experience when the Holy Spirit baptized me for the first time. How many of you have ever been baptized by the Holy Spirit? That is with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Yes, some of us. If you haven't, I want you to hunger for that, okay? And I'm saying this because that was my prayer. I had been hungry. I had seen everyone around me experience God in a way that I had not yet experienced God. And I remember that night when we had this guest minister and he was speaking, and we had just finished playing, our worship team was playing, and I remember I stepped off the altar. And how many of you know when you have a guest speaker and then they call you out, you think that they're about to tell every sin that you've ever done to the whole church? And I'm standing there and this guy calls me out. He said, "Young man," and I was walking off kind of like, "Oh, dude," you know, and he calls me, he says, "Come here." And I was pretty fast and I was tempted to run. I didn't run though. I turned around and I walked back up on the altar. And this is just the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "You've been praying to receive the Holy Spirit." And I knew instantly. Once he said those words, I said, "Oh man." God told him something. God spoke to this man for me. He said, "You've been praying to receive the Holy Spirit, son." He said, "Today's the day that you're going to receive the Holy Spirit and you're going to be baptized in the Lord." And I remember standing there before him thinking, okay, so how is this even going to happen? And he told me, he says, "Close your eyes." And I closed my eyes. He said, "I want you to just begin to think about Jesus." And I remember as soon as I closed my eyes, I saw the image of Jesus. It was actually a picture that we used to have in our house. My parents had a picture of Jesus up on the wall, and that was the only real image of Jesus that I knew that I could relate to. And so I closed my eyes and I just began to see Jesus. But as my eyes were closed, I remember just thinking, and he began to just kind of lead me into it. He says, "Listen," he says, "just think of what he's done for you. Just think of everything that the Lord has done for you." And I remember just seeing this imagery in my mind of how the Lord was beaten and how the Lord was his beard was torn and how his body was just bloodied and he was unrecognizable. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was disfigured beyond recognition. And I just started to think about how the Lord had thought of me. That I came across his heart and I came across his mind in that moment. That you came across his heart and you came across his mind in those moments. I believe that the Lord in that moment, church, when the wrath of sin was poured out upon his life, he saw every single person that was ever created. And in his heart, he said, "For this, I'm here. For them, I'm here." And though he could have called 1,000 angels to take him off the cross on that day, he didn't do so. And I saw this Jesus. I could just see Jesus in my heart. And as I knew what the word said about him and what the word had confessed that he had did for me, church, all of a sudden I remember feeling just this bubbling in my spirit, this bubbling in my stomach, this fluttering. I don't even know how to explain it, but I just felt all of a sudden something I had never felt before. And then out of my mouth began to speak in tongues that I didn't know how to do. That I didn't know how to control, that I didn't know how to, I didn't even know how it was happening. All I knew is that I was focused on Jesus. Now I'm telling you this, not just to focus on the gift, but to focus on the giver. When you focus on Jesus, church, when your life never loses sight of him, this thing becomes so powerful. This thing becomes so real. This thing becomes so evident. And the enemy will do everything that he can to stop us short from receiving the glory and the power of God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.